Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Stuart Lawton. He's the general manager of WCS Consulting and is right now based in Dubai, UAE. First and foremost, Stuart, very welcome to this interview.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak about our new service.
Anytime. Stuart, I always have this tradition that I allow my interviewees to give a little rundown on their career leading up to their current position. So without further ado, I'd like to ask you, how come you ended up where you are?
Very good question. Originally, I'm from a small town in the UK called Brighouse, which is probably one of the most landlocked parts of the UK imaginable. Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, I sort of fell in love with the idea of the shipping industry and decided I wanted to pursue a career there in the shipping industry. So I opted to do a degree in maritime studies at Liverpool John Moores University in the UK. Mm-hmm. From there, I did an 18-month, nearly two-year industrial placement with P&O European Ferries, mm-hmm. based out of Liverpool, which was an incredible opportunity. I think it really gave me an opportunity to pick up the practical knowledge to reinforce the academic knowledge. And anyone out there who has an opportunity in university to do an industrial placement, I strongly recommend they do it. It sets you up so much clearer and so much better, right. Understanding for the future. Mm-hmm. After leaving university, I joined Hamburg Sud, which is an absolutely fantastic company to work for. Had the perfect balance of being a family-owned company at that time and a corporate structure. And again, fantastic company, worked with some fantastic people who really taught me a great deal about liner shipping and liner operations, to a lesser degree, port aspects. Mm-hmm. Because that wasn't really part of the role, but it was an incredible place to work. I was there for nearly 4 years. In fact, just over 4 years, I think nearly 5 years. Mm-hmm. And from there, I had an opportunity to join Gulftainer, mm-hmm. based in Kuwait. At that point, Gulftainer just got a concession to do shadow management and consultancy at Kuwait Port. Mm-hmm. So I sort of, this position came to my attention. Mm-hmm. I decided, I quite like the idea of going overseas and giving this a go. Again, I think it was a sort of spirit of adventure aspect that I sort of fell in love with the idea of going to QA and had in my mind it was real frontier kind of, mm-hmm. A real frontier opportunity. The reality is you could put someone in QA, put someone in Dubai, and you'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference. It's hard.
Yes.
But anyway, I fell in love with the idea, and it was one of those bizarre twists of fate where the people who would be my immediate bosses and people I've stayed in touch with to this day and people that our paths do still cross. Lend me one moment. My coffee's just arrived.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it. We need
so,
it.
Yeah, it was one of those bizarre twists of fate where the people I would be working with ultimately knew people that I was in contact with via Hamburg Sud. Mm-hmm. And on the strength of the recommendations, I was offered the position. Mm-hmm. So joined Gulftainer in Kuwait for 3 years. Again, absolutely brilliant company to work for. Really learned a lot. There's some there were then and there still are now some very, very talented people at Gulftainer. That was my first real move into the port side of things. Right. And I'm really proud of what we and the team achieved in QA. The point when we were there were long anchorage times. Perhaps some of the equipment wasn't being as utilized as it could have been. And we made a definite impact over the 3 years that Gulftainer had the contract in QA. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as things go in the Middle East sometimes and countries around the world, the contract was term limited, and I think there was a drive by the QA government to essentially try and renationalize as much as possible. So the contract sadly came to an end. Gulftainer gave us the opportunity to move around a little bit for the following 6 months to 12 months. So I spent a little bit of time in the head office in Sharjah, working with the projects team there. Mm-hmm. And I also had a fantastic opportunity to go to the Comoros Islands for three, four months, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. That sounds interesting, yeah?
Comoros Islands, beautiful, beautiful islands. Absolutely beautiful. It was a small little terminal there on the island of Moroni. Ships are discharged at anchorage, and it could be into barges, and it could be container ships, it could be general cargo ships, bulk ships. Mm-hmm. Everything's discharged to barges, come alongside, and we had a barge crane set up on the quay side that would then discharge the barges. But yeah, very, very interesting little terminal, and as I said, for beautiful islands. And then after that, unfortunately, I departed Cortina. I decided to take a little bit of time out for myself for about 6 months, and then I ended up taking a position in the Falkland Islands.
Oh, wow.
Which, again, was a very interesting position, partly came around because of the pre-existing relationship with Hamburg Süd. They were, at that time, sort of a partner for the Falkland Island government and a number of fishing companies who wanted to start their own containerization service from the Falklands. The fisheries in the Falklands is a big volumes, well, relatively big volumes. And it's one of the few areas in the world where it readily favors containerization, but they haven't quite got it off the ground.
Right.
So it was an incredibly interesting thing. That included doing limited shore infrastructure and so on, as well as vessel chartering arrangements and so on. Yeah, it was a really, really interesting project, really, really great time I had in the Falklands. I'm not sure how much I can really say on this point. There was a little bit of external pressure, shall we say, on the service from other entities in South America. And unfortunately, Hamburg sort of had to make a strategic decision about whether they continued with the service. Ultimately, the point when I decided that it was time for me to move on, there were a number of favourable options left on the table for SAS, the South American Atlantic Service, as it was called, to pursue. And I'm very pleased to say that SAS is still functioning to this day. And it's, yeah, it's it, really proud of the time spent in Falklands as well.
Very interesting.
From the Falklands, I had an opportunity to rejoin Gulf Tainer, basically, and go to their Iraq terminal. It was an opportunity to work with one of the people I mentioned previously, a gentleman called Peter Smith, exceptional boss in every respect of the word. And chance to work with Pete again, I thought, why not? Absolutely, why not? So they just recently acquired Berth 8 in Ancasa Southport. It was a startup operation with essentially two mobile harbour cranes. And we'd also got a concession to expand and redevelop what is now ICT or Berth 11 in Ancasa. So yeah, it was an incredible opportunity. Stayed in Iraq with Gulf Tainer for 2 years, three years. And then I felt that the project had evolved to a point where I'd achieved all I could in that kind of role. At the same time, I was presented with an opportunity to move to a different terminal in Iraq, which was a small startup, a 90,000 square meter yard with a couple of forklifts, a couple of side cranes, 50-ton Terexes, if I recall. And, 60-ton, I think. And no quayside concession at that point. It was literally a satellite yard. And over the course of my time there, working closely with the shareholders at the time and management, we evolved that from a small 90,000 square meter satellite yard with a small amount of equipment into a four berth terminal, which is from memory 850,000 square meters, plus a concession to redevelop yet another area of the port, which will have ships to gantry cranes. Again, I think after sort of 6-7 years at that terminal, I really felt that it was time to sort of expand a little bit and do something a little bit different. Again, I sort of felt that I'd had achieved all that I could in that time, and I was looking for something a little new. So an opportunity came up to, again, do a similar thing in Iraq, a small niche operator that was looking to expand and develop their services and their berths. So I decided to take an opportunity with them for, and see how that went. Unfortunately, our friend COVID arrived, which kind of frustrated the whole process. So I wasn't able to really return to that position, which was a shame. And because I really do think that that particular arrangement was a nice little arrangement, a very successful niche operator. And I can see that in a few years' time, they will expand significantly. And as I say, I was stuck in the UK because I happened to be on the COVID lockdowns, blah, blah, blah. So after that, COVID kind of frustrated that particular endeavor. So I was then given the opportunity to go to Thessaloniki in Greece, working for Thessaloniki Port Authority. Mm-hmm. And again, I think I've been very, very lucky because throughout my career, I've had some exceptional bosses. Mm-hmm. And again, my boss in Thessaloniki and the management team in Thessaloniki, the senior management team, all exceptionally professional people, all brilliant people to work for and with. And so I was at Thessaloniki for around about 6, 7, 8 months, I think it was. Unfortunately, there was a bit of an issue caused by Brexit, which meant getting a visa was somewhat difficult. It looked a little bit uncertain. I'd been approached about a position with WCS.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I decided, you know what, it was a very, very tough decision. Very, very tough decision. Mm-hmm. But I opted to take an opportunity with WCS. And here I am.
Okay. So you are now based, is that permanently based in Dubai for WCS? I mean, you seem to be liking and returning to the Middle East on a general basis. So it seems to me that you like it there.
I will say this much. Having spent nearly 10 years in total in Iraq, I absolutely love Iraq and I miss the place very much every day. I miss all the guys in Iraq. The Iraqis were fantastic to work with. Dubai is obviously very different than Iraq.
Sure.
Generally, you're right. I guess I have spent a lot of time in the Middle East. And Dubai is a fantastic place. It really is. It's one of the few places I find that you can go where everyone just gets on with everything.
Yeah. Everything's possible.
Some of the issues that you find in other cities and other countries, here, everyone's just get on with it. Goes the way it should.
Yeah, no, it's a very impressive career. I mean, you mentioned some islands that I surely would like to visit one day whenever time and money allows. But the Comoros Islands, I read somewhere that the UAE have a very special relationship with those islands. And then you also mentioned the Falklands, which I didn't even think of the Falklands since the last 20 years. So very, very impressive.
I always find it funny when I tell people I was in the Falklands, they always say, what, in the war? Which makes me think spending 10 years in Iraq has aged me considerably.
yes, definitely. Nava, you look young enough to me. One thing, hang on. Can you screw on air? It's my son. I'm using my son's room here, so I just have told him to turn down his computer. But Stuart, one question I'd like to ask you here. WCS Consultancy, I mean, your main focus is neutrally to service and render your, let's say, services and consultancy to any terminal. You are not married to anyone. You are totally, shall we say, neutral, right?
No, that's correct. I mean, obviously, World Crane Services is a DP World company.
That I understand.
let's get that out there because, I mean, everybody knows that we're a DP World company. But we are fully independent. We have our own board of directors. Okay. And I will say the parent group has been incredibly supportive because I think there's an appreciation that WCS is recognized as and needs to continue to be an independent entity.
I'm just asking straight off the bat here, would you, of course, you have a very strong ownership and of course these days everyone are interlinked no matter what, but who would be your main, focuses for attack? Would it be smaller and medium-sized terminals and not the other big ones would it be anyone in your area?
To be quite honest, if one of the larger groups or a larger well-known terminal, in fact, recently we've had an inquiry from a very large well-known port authority. Okay. Obviously, I can't really give regarding a potential opportunity. I think our primary focus is certainly going to be the smaller to medium-sized terminals and port authorities. Yeah. But equally, if a larger group or larger terminal comes with an interesting proposal or a proposal where we can offer our services, and certainly we're willing to consider that as well, and hopefully we'll be in a position to do so.
Yeah, because what I've seen is that some of the major ship owners like CMA, like Maersk Line, and you also have other groups, they want to invest in terminals because that seems to be the choke point. I mean, not least to mention what we've seen on the US West Coast, where everything has been chock-a-block compared to infrastructure in Asia, for example. I suppose that WCS, you are helping out terminals to become more efficient. Isn't that the key word for what you're doing?
I would say efficiency is a big part of it, but our services, from the consultant's point of view, aren't just about efficiency.
Okay.
You know, there's the health and safety aspect.
Yes.
There's the normal day-to-day operations. We offer quite a range of potential services that we're going to engage in, hopefully, from providing advice on finance and funding to sustainability. Mm-hmm. But I think our core focus will always be the operational and QHSE, which goes hand in hand with efficiency.
Okay. And under QHSC, that's also security, isn't it? I mean, terminal security.
We would include security in there, but we do, again, security risk management is also a service aspect that we do cover.
Okay. So that means, let's say I'm the owner of a mid-size terminal somewhere in Africa, and I need some help in order to get me up to scratch with the modern day requirements. I could contact you. You would give me a quote for these services, or is that a one-time thing, or how does a consultancy like that work? Do you sign a contract for some years or to maintain it, or how does it work?
To be quite honest, our approach throughout this has been that we wanted to offer something that wasn't available from other consultants.
Right.
We wanted to work very much on the ground and in hand with our clients. So rather than just getting an inquiry and feeding back a quote, I will give an example now. There's a particular client that we're speaking to, mm-hmm. and they very much want to engage our services. We're happy to progress things on a more, how can I put this? We're happy to progress things to a certain amount by simply giving a few pointers in the right direction.
Okay.
Rather than you have an inquiry, here's a quote. We like to engage with our clients, get a better understanding of what it is they're trying to achieve, what it is they're actually looking for, because ultimately we want to make sure we can deliver that.
Yeah.
So, and this is why before we get to just sending off a standardized or randomized kind of quote, it's best to have a full understanding of what the client's requirements are. And if that means you have to spend a little bit more time with the client, or potential client, up front, then I think we're kind of taking that approach at the moment.
And probably also then the client will stay longer with you. I mean, if you invest a little bit more time in the beginning,
exactly.
I suppose.
Exactly. And part of the strength of the WCS branding is that not only the independence, but as I said before, we really want to focus on filling that niche in the market that there is at the moment, where there aren't many consultants that are also backed by and have the support of a larger parent group that are port operators.
Right.
I mean, obviously there is one particular competitor, shall we say. but if you look at the larger consultants, they actually, sometimes there can be a bit of a disconnect between the advice that they're requested to provide, the advice they actually give, and the actual on-the-ground experience. And certainly we found that ourselves, the parent group very kindly allowed us to participate in some of their activities. And it was interesting to see that disconnect up front. In person.
Right. You certainly, it seems to me that you have the best of both worlds. I mean, not only do you have a strong and progressive parent group, and but you also have what it seems to me like a very high or total degree of freedom to act neutrally and but still, let's say, learn from experiences that your parent group has. I mean, DP World must be one of the largest in the world running terminals, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in the top 10 if I recall from memory. I think we're number 3, or rather DP World are number 3. But they are very, very successful, large scale port operator with a wealth of experience.
Yeah.
And we're able to tap into that and draw upon that as I said before, the support from the parent group has been phenomenal and very refreshing, I found, because I sort of expected to come into this and be told, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, the parent group has been incredibly supportive,
That's good to hear. How is your team? I mean, you are one guy, but you can only be one place at a time. What kind of team do you have in place to support you? I suppose traveling.
Again, quite lucky because we've got a wealth of resources available through the group. So we put a lot of arrangements in place where we can draw upon the group resources as and when needed, covering pretty much every range of our service aspects.
Okay.
Additionally to that, obviously over the years, there's a number of very trusted people that I know in the industry who also we can engage on a ad hoc basis as and when needed. And in addition to that, we also are looking at some strategic partnerships with other parties.
Okay.
So hopefully as the consultancy develops and progresses and starts to grow and build, we'll be in a position to obviously expand the direct team. But clients shouldn't be put off by that at the moment. As I say, we simply have this massive wealth of resources we can draw upon.
Yes, no, it's and I have read your recent press release, which was quite an eye opener. It's very, very impressive. And I think it seems to me, and also with your experience, I mean, a lot of people talk about what they have done and so on. But I mean, you've been to some places where very few have been. I mean, you've really been outside the beltway. And I think in my book, that counts for a lot when people talk about real hands-on experience. I mean, Comoros and Falklands and Iraq, it's not an everyday experience, I think.
I suppose not. But again, that was also something that I found quite refreshing because, yes, predominantly my background has been on the ground operations. But I have also been very lucky that the sort of companies I've worked for and the roles I've had have allowed me or required me to move into taking on commercial aspects and to look at certain business development aspects. But first and foremost, I'm an ops guy. Yeah. You know, I like to play with cranes. Yeah, I like the thrill of hammering a vessel as quick as possible.
As I said, if you had had in your CV Hamburg, Rotterdam, Antwerp, it wouldn't have been the same as Umkasa, Comoros, and Falklands. You know, what I mean by this is it shows that you know how to solve problems because it's another set of problems you meet in these, shall we say, outports, right?
Exactly. Strangely enough, I always remember saying this. My first real experience of this phrase that I used was actually just shortly after leaving Kuwait when I was with Gulf Air in Sharjah. And I remember speaking to the then terminal manager because there was always in Gulf Air, there was always the little thing that Corbacan was the big beast, you know, where Sharjah, small little terminal. And I was actually saying to the then terminal manager, do you know what? The thing is, Corbacan is so efficient, it runs itself. They actually used to have, at the time, a brilliant terminal manager, an East German gentleman called Dag Fromke, who ran the place like a Swiss watch.
Yes.
It's got to be said, Dag ran the place very well, and so did his predecessor, a gentleman called Ed Pimbo. But yeah, they, you know, Corbacan ran very efficiently, but it sort of ran itself to a certain degree. And my comment was that I think sometimes, the terminal manager, sometimes people don't fully understand the challenges of a small terminal. And I still maintain that to this day. The challenges of a small terminal are very, very different than those of a mega terminal.
Definitely. Now, it's funny you mentioned a name that, of course, I know a little bit from the past. I think Dag Fromke, I met him actually when I was a passenger on board one of the CMA CGM ships in Corfakan. And he showed me around the terminal there, and quite a tough guy. And as you would expect from a German, it was 9 o'clock, not 9:02. You know.
Yes.
So, but anyway, it is. I'm sure he. Sometimes you need to be a bit tough in certain conditions. But look, Stuart, I must say I'm very impressed with your background. I'm quite sure that many of our viewers will be duly impressed as well. What's the next for you? You have started now in this new consultancy. What is the first step now going forward? Corona is hopefully soon over. Are you on a plane soon again, or are you full speed ahead?
We're currently talking with a number of different clients over a number of different projects, and also working on a number of tender opportunities. Separate to that, we are going to continue providing some assistance to the parent group where needed. There's opportunities there where we can assist with some of their project assessment work, and they've very kindly allowed us to participate in that process.
Right.
So that's pretty much the immediate plan. As I say, hopefully we'll be in a position where we can continue to grow and develop the new consultancy business.
Yeah, no, I'm quite sure it sounds to me like it's the right initiative at the right time and with the right guy at the helm. So good on you, as they say in Australia, I think.
Oh, thank you.
So, Stuart, I want to say formally many, many thanks for your time during this interview.
Ah, thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity to present WCS Consulting.
Yeah, you're anytime, my friend. So to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview. Of course, I have to say that. Interview with Mr. Stuart Lawton. He's the general manager of WCS Consulting, right now based in Dubai, UAE, and a most experienced and capable gentleman. So do stay tuned for further interviews in the near future. Thank you.